Our reading is beginning with the 17th chapter, 17th verse of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Hear now God's word. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And this is the Gospel of the Lord. As you probably know, 15 of us went to the Quad Cities, which is on the Mississippi River, Davenport, Iowa, Moline, Illinois, and a couple other small cities around, on a mission trip. We went to share God's love. We return full of that love. We hope to share it with you this morning. We have 5 speakers this morning. We've changed the order a little bit from what's in the bulletin. We're going to start with our adult leader, Jeff Doering, and Jessica Crone, and Josh Doering, Luke Pohl, and finally, Nathan Pohl. Hear now their experiences.
So my family has a tradition that we borrowed from Brian, that on your birthday, you get asked the question, what did you learn this year? If you went around the sun for 365 days and didn't learn anything, sort of a waste. And as I was writing down my thoughts, I also wrote down last October what I thought that God wanted me to learn in the next year. So I wrote down, in the next year, my goal is to learn kindness. And if you know me, you probably know that I focus on facts, details, rules, tasks, and social interaction is a bit of a challenge for me. So I knew that trying to learn kindness was going to be a challenge. And I was reflecting that if someone was asked to describe me with 3 or 5 words, kindness, kind, I wouldn't come up on that list. But Scripture points us to the importance of kindness. In Galatians, kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Colossians, Paul encourages us to clothe ourselves with kindness. In the famous love chapter that's often read at weddings, Paul lets us know that love is patient, love is kind. So when we ask, what does love look like? There comes kindness again. In Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. So I've been praying basically every morning since my birthday for God to help me speak words that are kind, necessary, and true. And so you'd think that by now I would see some progress and fruit and I can tell you about all of those wonderful things. Well, not actually. So in terms of but God did show me about kindness. In the planning of the travel to and from the mission trip, there were a lot of details that I could have planned better. communication that could have gone better. But the youth, their parents, were kind with me about those things that didn't go very well. To be honest, I'm still struggling to be kind with myself about that. Then on Monday night, we had a discussion group. Four youth, two from another church, and I were in one group as we all broke up into those kind of numbers. And one of the youth from another church made a comment, and I thought that really implies that they are seeing God as being too critical. And I wanted them to see God as being more kind and receiving. So I spoke up. I thought I came up with a great analogy for how God receives our prayers. I thought that I had spoken all kinds of wonderful, kind words. And I left that interaction really feeling pretty good about myself. All right, kind words. Well, the next day, the father of that youth came up to me, shook my hand, let me know that he had spent 2 hours talking with his daughter when the rest of us went to sleep because she struggles with low self-esteem. And all she heard was wrong and everything else that I shared went in her head, but it didn't reach her heart. But that dad came up to me and showed me kindness by first really emphasizing that everything that I said was correct, and that he knew that my intention was good. Then he role-played for me how I could have interacted with his daughter so that she would have actually heard and received in her heart what I was trying to share. So he showed me what kindness looks like in a way that I didn't express to his daughter. Mornings during the week, we worked with a gentleman named Brian, who's retired and caring for the gardens that Broadway Presbyterian has put up, created in order to give the refugee community an opportunity to both grow food and to learn skills. And no matter what we did, Brian always told us that it was great, it was fantastic, and it wasn't that he sort of looked at it, thought about it, and then said, oh, that's great. No, he was very quick. He had objectives for every day of what he wanted us to do, what he wanted us to plant. And we didn't always meet those objectives, but his face and his words always told us that what we did was great. If you didn't even speak English, you would describe him as a kind man. So Brian showed me what kindness looks like. And then on Thursday night, after our foot washing ceremony in our church group time, we sat in a circle, and for 2 hours, the youth went around and spoke encouraging words focused on one individual at a time. So that went from 10:45 to 12:45 in the morning. And I was very honored to be part of that and to listen to that. And the comments that the youth shared with each other were not general. They were very specific. They were very discerning. Even though they were coming up with them off the top of their heads, they were speaking life to each other. They were speaking kind words. And so they showed me what kindness looks like. So Jesus came to show us and to model what we're supposed to live. And then he brings other people into our lives to model how we're supposed to live. And so this week I got to see Jesus in a variety of different people show me what kindness looks like.
Good morning. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jessica, and this is my 8th mission trip and my last one as a Geneva youth. And this past week, I worked at a place called Hope at the Brick House, which is like a daycare summer camp center for kids that are in the area. And first thing I noticed when I went in there was the leader of the organization. Her name was Joyce. And God just shined through her so much. She started this organization by herself. She actually lives upstairs from the daycare and is there every day and is constantly, like, she's always patient with the kids, always showing kindness, even though even I was getting a little bit frustrated with the kids and I was only there for a week. She does this every day and is so good with the kids. At the place, there was a lot of great kids, but one that stood out was a girl named Taviana. And when I first saw her, I knew there was something special about her. I don't know what it was, but she just, there was something different about her. She wasn't there the first 2 days that we worked there, but she was there the last 2 days. We came to find out that she is blind, so she needed a lot of assistance when we were there with her. She also has a very serious, like, heart condition that was going on. That's why she wasn't there the first 2 days. So I had the time to get to meet her and interact with her, which was amazing. She has such a great attitude despite everything that maybe isn't, in our words, maybe isn't so perfect. She's blind. She has a heart condition. She lives in an area that isn't very safe. But she still played all the games with all the kids. She, even though she can't read because she's blind, she would still hold a book really close to her face and turn the pages as if she was reading. We did a quiz together, and the leader of the organization told me to just read her the questions, and when she responded, I would just write them down for her, but she insisted on writing them down herself, even though she couldn't see what she was writing, and a lot of her letters were really jumbled. She wanted to do it herself. I thought that was just amazing to see someone who, and she was so young too, someone who has so much stacked against them in life, but has such a positive attitude. When I was reading with her one day, we were reading the story of Johnny Appleseed, and as she was answering the questions and writing, and all of her letters were on top of each other, I couldn't help but not cry. Like, I was looking at this girl who, you know, thought she knew what she was writing and had such a great attitude about it. She knew exactly what was going on. She knew exactly what she was answering. She knew what she wanted to say. And unfortunately, she couldn't write it in a way that other people could understand her. I, like, had to, like, lean back and so she couldn't see me, and I was just crying, and I couldn't help it. Later at our church group, on Thursday night, we watched a video about how we constantly compare ourselves to others, and that was so real for me. I do that every day. I watch people, as I meet new people, I think, like, where am I on the scale and compared to them? Like, am I better than them? Am I worse than them? If I think they're better than me, then I envy them. And if they're worse than me, then I kind of think, oh, okay, I get a little bit more confident. And I realized that society might look at this girl, Taviana, she's blind, she needs a lot of assistance, and might think, I'm better than her. But the point of the video that we watched that night was that comparison, or compassion, is more important than comparison. Another theme of the week was that a lot of us look at people and we use descriptive words in our head and we say them to ourselves, like, that person is shy, that person is weak, that person is not very nice. And it's sometimes hard to look at that person and see that they are loved by God, even though that should be the first thing in our head and we should know that. It's so hard to say to ourselves when you see someone new, they're loved by God. So people probably look at Taviana and don't see those things. They see a lot of other things that might make her not like the rest of us. As I met Taviana and got to talk with her more and more, I realized the importance of looking at someone with clean eyes and seeing they are loved by God. And there's no reason that I shouldn't love her and treat her with compassion. Many people probably look at her and compare themselves to her. But after my experience with her, and as I go to college this fall, I'm really trying now to look at people with this compassion and not use words that might make it easy to categorize them and if I should be friends with them, like if they're shy, if they're not athletic, if they're lazy. Instead, the first word I want to say to them is that, or the first word that I want to come to my mind when I look at them is loved by God. So I'm so grateful that I had a time to go on this mission trip. It was a great experience, and I'm really glad that I took away what I have from it. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. So I'm kind of going to steal a little bit from everybody else. But the first 3 days we were at work sites, I was with the same group as Jessica at Hope at the Brick House. And I want to expand on Joyce and the rest of the staff, because I honestly don't know how they do what they do with so much energy and love. As Jessica mentioned, Joyce started this by herself over 20 years ago. This is her life. She and her husband, Cal, live in the same building that they use as the daycare. And no matter how many things went wrong or how many times kids would do things that would frustrate people or how demanding somebody may be, there was always a smile on their face. They were always jumping at the opportunity to help and doing whatever they can to make those kids feel truly loved and truly special, which is really incredible, because we were there for most of us 4 days and we were tired each and every day from working with those kids, but they show up day in and day out and they just pour themselves out for those kids, and it's really amazing to watch. And it's not just them. They have a staff that is every bit as loving and caring as Joyce and Cal are, and they also have volunteers who show up every week, and this is just, they love helping the kids, and that really, it's, working with kids is not my strong suit, and so that was one way that I saw people, as Jessica was talking about, the theme was loved by God, and so I really, just whenever I would watch anybody who works there, the way they interacted with the kids, it was never, oh, this is another thing I have to do, this is another thing that's going to make me more tired. It was, this kid is loved by God, and so I need to do whatever it is that they need at this moment. And so they were really good about making sure that the kids who needed special attention got it. They were flexible, because more often than not, the plan did not go as expected. We kind of just made things up as we went, and they said, that's fine, whatever you guys want to do, as long as the kids are having fun. So they always kept the kids as the top priority, and it was just really incredible to watch that. So that's where I saw God and saw people showing me how to look at others as loved by God first. And then on Thursday, our last day at the work sites, Daniel and I actually switched groups, and we went with everybody else from our youth group to work in the community gardens with Brian, and then spent the afternoon doing what Luke is going to talk about. So I only interacted with Brian for one morning, actually. But Brian is one of the most positive people I've ever met. Every day when they would come back and they would talk about their experiences, it was always, Brian is awesome. Brian is always helping us, and he's always there. He's jumping at the opportunity to do whatever we need. He's always encouraging us, telling we're doing a great job, even though we're not really sure if we are. And so I was very excited to actually get to experience that. And it's all true. Anytime anybody needed anything, Brian was running over there trying to help them as fast as he possibly could so that they could get back to work and they felt like they were making an impact. I was tilling, which I had never done before, and I was not very good at it. And so every time something would go wrong, I would look over and there's Brian helping me, explaining what I should do so that I can learn and at the same time be productive. And so anytime anybody would ask Brian about, are we doing this right or is this enough, he would just say, yeah, that's great, fantastic, good job. And I remember somebody, I don't remember who it was, telling me a story about how they were planting something and Brian had, they asked if there was enough, and Brian said, oh, I was hoping to get 20 of these in there, and they only had 10 or something. And Brian goes, oh, okay, that's great, that's perfect, that's more than we'll need. So there was just positivity flowing out of him at every bone in his body, and so he really exemplified God's love as well. And so it was just really neat to kind of have two different experiences on this mission trip, and I definitely learned a lot from people who really put showing God's love to others first and make that the main priority in their life, because that's something that I don't always do. So thank you for this experience and allowing me to go on these 7 mission trips, because they really have changed my life.
Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Luke Polt. This is my 4th mission trip that I've been on. And so this week we went to my group that I was working with. We went to a place called Broadway Presbyterian Church on Rock Island in Illinois. And so for the first half of the day, we went to work with Brian in the gardens, as Josh and Jeff have already talked about. But then after lunch, for the second half, we worked with refugee kids who were the children of the people who were working in the gardens. And so coming into this, I always focus on more of the big things and thinking that big things impact more than little things. And so just working with these kids really changed that. And so from the first day on Monday, you could just tell how these kids just picked a buddy, and they just, all week, that was their buddy. And there's a little boy named Bienvenu. He buddied up with Louis all week, and they played soccer together. We went one day to a museum, and they literally ran through the whole museum together. And there was a little boy that I got to hang out with a lot this week named Kato, and he was the sweetest little boy, and it was just really, really fun. We played soccer with them. We again went to a museum, and just hanging out at the church with them, eating lunch with them, just talking to them. And it was just really, really moving how some of the kids were coming to the daycare with the same shirt all week, and so we didn't know their family situation, how what their life was at home, and just the way that just the little thing, just playing soccer with them, just eating lunch with them, how that could really be impacting their entire lives was just really, really moving for me, because I was thinking that you couldn't really change somebody's life unless you did something really big for them. And so I want to thank you all for supporting this mission trip, and so I would not have been able to have this incredible experience without all of your support. So thank you.
Good morning. Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your support for our mission trip. I already mentioned, just for your support through the night out to financially help make this possible, and for your prayers throughout the week, that really makes a huge difference to us, and we could not have had all these great, great stories to share or without you. So this week, where I really saw God was through our evening activity, our evening activity comes kind of after dinner at the end of the day, where there's something to do just as our church groups out in the community. And so on Tuesday night, we had a prayer walk through a rougher neighborhood in Davenport, Iowa. And we were walking along on a sidewalk, and Christy and I were kind of at the back of the group, and there was a lady who was walking down her driveway throwing something away in the trash. And she stopped and asked us what we were doing, just a long line of people walking down the sidewalk in their neighborhood. And so we talked with her about kind of like what we were doing, like what Youth Works is all about, where we're staying, kind of like about our mission trip. And we just kept talking with her, and she, I mean, just started really pouring kind of a lot of the heaviness of her heart out. Like, she had just 4 kids that she's raised them in the church and have all kind of drifted away. And she was just really, really in need of a lot of prayer. And it was really cool. We were able to pray for her that day, just on a walk through the neighborhood. Just the chance, the opportunity that God gave us, where she was going to throw something away just at the right time as we were walking down. And the other cool part is that we were at the back of the group, so we had stopped to talk with her while the rest of the group kept going. And they didn't realize we weren't with them until Caitlin found a stray kitten and wanted to show her mom. And then realized her mom's not in the group anymore. So Luke and Alex and Louie all came back and prayed with us. And this was really cool, because on Thursday then, we went to a park in that same neighborhood. And it was a chance for anyone that we had been serving in the community that week that we could come. We had just food out. The kids were playing. Like, there was a nice park to play at. There was a big soccer game going. And partway through it, Luke came up to us and he said, "We should go invite Deborah, the lady that we had prayed for, to the cookout." So we walked up to her house, and she wasn't able to come down to the picnic, but we were able to meet one of her daughters who is homeless right now, and her husband, and we were able to pray for them again, their whole family. Really specifically, we asked them what they wanted prayed for, and just the appreciation and the gratitude that Deborah showed us, that she was just so thankful. Like, she really, really needed those prayers. That really showed me how much of a difference prayer can really make and how powerful it really is. So that was a huge thing that I took away from this week. We had an amazing week, and I have a lot more stories, but that really, really stuck with me. And I want to thank you guys again for making that possible.
We're back here, but our mission trip is not over. Our mission trip continues today, tomorrow, for the rest of our lives. Thursday night, I confessed to the group that I'm a sinner. And that night, my sin was pride, because I can't tell you how proud I was just to be part of this group of incredible young people. You should all be proud. If we're worried about the faith of this country, if we're worried about the faith of this church, and I look to the youth that we have here, we are in good hands. Praise God. If you look at the website and our Facebook pages, you'll notice that most of the pictures are farming related. Hope at the Brick House, we were very limited in what pictures we could take for some confidentiality issues with some of the children. The picture on the screen, obviously a cross, but it's painted by a little 5-year-old girl who was given the instruction to paint around the cross of Jesus what you think God wants there. And I think she did a wonderful, wonderful job. Please join me in prayer. Lord, you sent us, and we went. As best we could, we shared your love. And you brought us home to share that love again. But I'd like to invite you all this morning and for this next week, for as long as you feel moved, to pray for the children that we impacted this past week. We were only there for a few days, and yet when we had to leave, we did a lot of tears. Both on our parts and with some of the kids. And they'll do that every week this summer as a new group of volunteers comes in. So we pray, Lord, that those who follow us will show the love of Jesus Christ better than we did. That these children are taken care of. And that they may grow in their faith. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd also invite you to engage our youth. Get them in one-on-one conversations. We could go on for hours with all the things we saw and did, but you'd all get really bored. Thank you.